Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It is a real pleasure to have you here, and we thank you very much for making us a part of your day. We're excited to continue our extraordinary and exclusive conversations with Dr. Victoria J. Monlock, an inspiring physician who's double certified, changed career focus a few times with the times, from group to private practice, from OBGYN to general and internal medicine, and to later holistic wellness and alternative therapies. She has been on our radio show series, really opening up and sharing extraordinary ways to live a healthier and more balanced, well life on many, many, many different levels. And she's discussed novel therapies in the past, including the purest collagen supplements, blended medicine, bioidentical hormone replacement, wellness models, and so much more. And during the course of these particular episodes during this month, we've been really hitting hard on very, very specific topics: Alzheimer's and dementia, autoimmune diseases, regenerative medicine. And on this episode, we're going to tackle hormone balancing and aging as well, something that all of us will experience or are experiencing. The clock waits for nobody. This is really this series, a can't-miss opportunity to hear from an authority in medicine who has more than 35 years of practice experience and has treated patients with unprecedented success, and that includes hormone balancing. She even did for herself. So she walks the walk, talks the talk. She's also a noted author, too, and we encourage you to pick up copies of her books. We'll tell you about that coming up during this episode as well. She's also published a multitude of articles. She's a trainer. She's a curriculum developer for other physicians at the leading edge of care. And again, she's somebody who really has addressed aging, anti-aging, and exploring the different sides of it all with her novel approaches to treatment for it all. My pleasure to welcome her back, Dr. Vicky. It's so nice to have you back here on Close Up Radio today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You know, talking about hormone balancing, and of course you're very welcome, it's always our pleasure. Hormone balancing and aging, not something that people talk about at the dinner table every day, but it is something that we all face and we all need to, you know, address in our lives. I know you're an advocate for hormone balancing. We've talked about it several times in our series. Also, you changed the course of your own menopause and hormone balancing as well. You can do it for men, too, which I think is really exciting. Tell us more about that, doctor.
Well, you know, everybody is familiar with what menopause is, but, you know, we jokingly will mention menopause because men may actually suffer from an accelerated drop in their hormone levels. And they are, with, as far as sex hormones, total and free testosterone, of which the free testosterone is the bioavailable, and that's really important to understand. The total is all the reserve that you have, but what your body uses, the bioavailable, is what's really important. So that's your free testosterone. In women, we have to deal with not only our testosterones, total and free, but also our estradiol and progesterone. So our balancing in women, we have to balance out what all four of those hormones are doing. And in women, ours is a bell curve for female hormone. It goes up and it goes down. And that's just averaging it. The individual variations on each woman's graph can look wildly different. But balancing that with our male hormone, which will gradually decrease over time, unless there is something like polycystic ovary going on where it flips more male than female. But men's curve is a very gradual, slow drop down. But if their gradual, slow drop down is not gradual and it's sudden, then that can be impacting all of the same symptoms that they may feel in age 60 at age 30. So knowing how to balance hormones, knowing to even look at hormone levels, and then balancing not just the male-female levels, but with the other three hormone groups, your thyroid, your adrenal, your insulin, that is key to the foundation of your wellness.
So important, really, and vital that we do that and we pay heed to your eloquent descriptions of it all. How can hormone balancing actually impact aging and anti-aging?
Well, you know, there's different theories about what aging is. And we all hope we age gracefully, you know, and you hear the term dying of old age, or that's an age-related, you know, incident. But really, if you think about in both women and men, our hormone levels are dropping from our 40s and into our 50s. And in our phase, it just disappears. So as medicine and research live longer, now live longer without hormone. Think about it. If women start at puberty, age 12, and we go to that, that's age 50, and that's age 88. Many, many women live to 88 and beyond. Plus, we're not even counting childhood in those years where we don't have. So if really we're talking about the fact that women are now living as many years with hormone, which is considered our moxie, our lifeblood, that's when we're having, that's when we're at a even long hormone. That's really a 100-year-old concept, menopause. No, it wasn't even recognized, it wasn't even named until 1912, that menopause, because we were living longer and healthier. In men, curve is gradual and slower, but it levels off. And will percent hormone. So it's all about getting foundational stuff first, but then if you understand that stress, your impact on draining happens with our estrogen and our testosterone, men and women, but if estradiol and testosterone are by the average person to increase blood per square inch, maintained, and pulling toxin is maintained. You rate, take away blood, and all of a sudden, faster, and they don't recover. You leave toxin behind, and that typically those are
I think your cell phone is dying out there, doctor. We're going to give you another call. Looks like your call dropped as well. Sounded like if you're on a cell phone, the cell phone signal was a little weak.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. So
it sounded like your cell. Oh, you want a cell phone?
Yes.
It sounded like it was really breaking up and losing signal. I don't know if you want to move around in the room a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, and this is where I usually record from, so I'm surprised. But at any rate,
there's a rain cloud
here
over
we are.
The building.
Is it sounding like a better signal?
It sounds better. So if you can rewind just a couple of sentences so they didn't miss anything, that would be perfect.
Where did I leave off?
It sort of trailed off really at the point where you were towards the beginning, actually, of when you were answering that question about balancing the impact of aging and anti-aging. So maybe you want to just pick up from there.
Sure. Well, because estradiol and testosterone are the major hormones, estradiol for women, testosterone for men. And their job is to increase blood supply per square inch to all of the tissues in our body. Every tissue in our body responds to hormone. So if you increase blood supply per square inch, you keep and maintain your blood supply, your oxygen supply, pulling toxin away. You maintain that as you hit menopause, age 50 for most women, then you decrease that blood supply, you decrease removal of toxin, you decrease the oxygen delivery and nutrient delivery to tissues, and that is accelerated aging. Same with testosterone with men, except it's a little more gradual in their curve. So why would we willingly want to take the lifeblood of how our cells on a cellular basis work to keep our body and our organs healthy, why would we want to disturb that? I don't know of anyone who, given that option, would say, yeah, take my hormone. I don't need it. I can work slower and lose my memory and have bad sleep. I can do all that. Don't worry about it. I don't know anybody who says that.
Mm. Right, exactly. Take my hormone, please. Not quite.
Yeah, that's like saying, take my pocketbook. I don't need it.
Right.
That credit card, nah. Money, I don't need any of that. Take it.
At what age, then, should someone start treatment to ensure hormones stay at healthy levels? In their 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, 50s, or even 60s? And does it differ between male and female patients?
Oh, hugely. And this is one of my favorite topics and obviously was the foundation of my whole practice, is that it's individualized. No two people are the same. So there are women in their 20s with such abnormal heavy periods or fibroids or polycystic ovary or any of those leading to infertility, and then especially and insulin resistance, which may or may not tie with polycystic ovary, all of those factors scream, my hormones are out of balance. Please balance me. You know, and infertility, the actual treatment of infertility is manipulating your hormones. So why wait to manipulate them? Why do we wait? Why don't we be proactive and preventive and actually look ahead of time if you're having some of the early symptoms like heavy bleeding and fibroids and recurrent ovarian cysts? Women in their 40s are now going to be primarily past childbearing. They may still have some of those issues, but now they're having the earlier signs of hormone swing, so they get to experience what menopause has in store for them. So they get mood swings, and they even get so depressed that they may be put on medication, but it's really hormone imbalance. Or they get misdiagnosed as bipolar. Or they actually can have their hormones stop, and putting hormone back in can actually give them back a lot of the control of body systems that they were losing control of, and especially in the realm of migraines and GI tract bloating and getting misdiagnosed with ulcerative colitis or IBS. And there are just so many instances where in your 40s, people just look at women like, oh, is this a this a good day or is this a PMS day, you know? And even their husbands will say that. Now you get into your 50s, and that's the hallmark of women losing their hormones. And the really unfortunate thing is that employers use this against women because one of the big things that happens is short-term memory loss and decreased ability to concentrate because you're having poor sleep, because you're having decreased blood supply per square inch even to your brain. And so employers use that to demote their workers and promote somebody because productivity is important. We can't have somebody slacking on the job. And so you're told you're training your replacement. Well, what kind of a message is that? Well, then you hit your 60s, and it's not recognized by medicine in this country as hormone being beneficial. Why? Because the only American research that really carries any weight was done with Premarin and Prempro, which are not human-based hormone at all. They are horse-based and synthetic. But they did the damage by showing that it increased breast cancer, increased heart attack, increased stroke, and it was opposition to what the European studies show with human-based hormone, showing a decrease in breast cancer, a decrease in heart attack, a decrease in stroke, and an increase in longevity. So there's a total disconnect. And American research has not caught up yet with European research. We are truly 20 years behind. And so because there are no, quote, American research studies that really confirm what the Europeans have shown, there's a few, but with small numbers, but not enough to influence the recommendations by the American Medical Association or American College of OBGYN. They recommend stopping hormone by 60 because there's no added benefit. Well, not with horse urine and not with synthetic, but there is, based on European research, American research has just not caught up with it yet. Now in your 70s and 80s, really what hormone is helping us do is protect our bone mass and prevent unwanted bone fracture, whether it's your spine, your hip, your femur, you name it. If you fall and a bone is leached of its calcium, it's going to break. And so if you can preserve good bone structure, what's wrong with that? And again, it's not about just giving it to people and saying good luck. It's about balancing. Balancing anything is always best. Excess of any one thing is never good, regardless. If it's in medicine, if it's in food, if it's in exercise, you have to balance, and balance is the key.
Balance is the key on so many aspects of life in so many ways. What are some of the ways that hormones also impact vitality and strength? A lot of people complain about, you know, losing that vitality, losing that energy and the strength. And in your book about women in their 50s who lost jobs because of their focus and concentration, you know, as you alluded to just a few moments ago, that was decreased by prompting employers to demote them.
Right. Well, and remember what I said is estradiol and testosterone, their job on a cellular level and a tissue level is to increase blood supply per square inch. That has impact on every organ system in the body, from your brain to your skin to how your eyes will continue to work, to your muscles, to your joints, to your GI tract, your cardiovascular system, you name it, it has an impact. And so as you impact your blood supply, obviously to muscle, that's your strength, to your vitality, that is every organ system in your body, but especially your brain. And if your brain is decreased of blood supply and oxygen, it's like being chronically sleep deprived, which, by the way, women with lower and sudden drops in estradiol, men with sudden drops in testosterone, they complain of sleep deprivation symptoms and poor sleep and insomnia and getting to sleep, but then they wake up at 2 a.m. and they can't get back to sleep. And maybe it's 1 o'clock, 2:30, 4 o'clock, and it's this broken sleep pattern. Well, chronic sleep deprivation can be extremely detrimental to concentration. And so if your job is especially interfacing with the public or in a sales position or in any kind of interface with a customer and you're forgetting their name, you're forgetting the question they just asked you, and you're asking them to repeat things over and over, that gets back to your boss and suddenly you're getting replaced or you're getting demoted or they suddenly have lost your place in the department because we now have, you know, we've moved that position over here and now you're going to be doing this totally different job, you know, in without customer interface because we can't, the message is we can't trust you with a customer. So what does that do to somebody's self-esteem? You know, why do we just willingly allow our patients or allow ourselves to be put in that position when there is an easy solution? And it's just to maintain your vitality. We take vitamins for that. So why can't estradiol be our female vitamin and testosterone be our male vitamin? We just have to give it a different marketing approach. And medicine needs to recognize that European research is worth looking at too.
That's right, exactly. Yes. If we can do it with hurricane models, look at the American and European models, we can certainly do it with medicine. That's for sure.
Well, right. And we get very territorial. We get very nationalistic about American research as the best in the world. But we aren't the only people doing research in the world. And when the Women's Health Initiative happened, and it was called early because they weren't seeing the results that they thought that they would see, the real answer is because the Americans weren't looking at the right hormones. Yeah, they got an increase in breast cancer, an increase in heart attack, an increase in stroke. But let's really take a look at what was going on. What was going on was the fact that it was actually horse urine and pregnant horse urine and synthetic progesterone as the reasons that was the hormone studied. And even in American studies, the few that they did that then looked at estradiol and progesterone, human-based, they found the same results that the Europeans did 10 years earlier with no real impact or decrease in breast cancer, decrease in heart attack, decrease in stroke. But the machinery was in place. The insurance industry was in place, hospitals were in place, the American Cancer Society was in place and geared up for all of this increase in breast cancer and, oh my gosh, we just can't let this happen. How do we now go back with our tail between our legs and say, oh, well, sorry, we looked at the wrong hormone? Well, we weren't going to embarrass the researchers that just did this landmark study, so we'll just kind of forget about that other smaller study because it's smaller. Well, and we're the American research group, you know. I mean, so we just won't pay as much attention to what the Europeans are doing. And I think that that was a major mistake on the part of American researchers. And Women's Health Initiative had 20 major universities. And to think that none of them stood up for the American woman to say, wow, we could have done this better. We should repeat this with human-based bioidentical hormone, but none of them did. And that is the travesty that faces the American female as far as their hormonal health, which is really their whole body health, which is what drove me to write my books and to practice the way I practiced, is because women are really given the wrong message. The message should be that we want you vital, we want you healthy, and we'll do whatever it takes to help that happen. Instead, it's, well, we did this research over here, And even though we didn't like the medicines we used with it, well, you know, that's the research we have, so that's what we're going with. And I disagree with that. I think women have been done a disservice.
You know, you mentioned the books, and I know those have been labors of love for you, and you're working, teased it last week a little bit, working on some other books, one specifically for men as well. Tell us about the books that you have available right now for people, and also a little bit about why you wrote them, the response to them, and how people can get them.
Well, and thank you for that. My two books that I wrote, Blossoming, I wrote first, A Mother-Daughter Guide for the Adolescent, because they're the forgotten female. Their hormone machinery is just getting started, and they're having wild swings in hormone that they don't understand, and their doctors don't either, because it isn't talked about. And hormone is not even taught in medical school. So there's not any good medical recommendation except, wow, we'll put you on birth control pills. Well, wait a minute. That may not at all be the direction that the teenager or the mom want to go, but that's the option given to them. And so they might be looking for a resource that they can use to help them not go down a medication route of artificial hormone, and this is that resource. And it is written for the patient. It is not written for healthcare providers because they don't know what they don't know. But patients have to live in their bodies, and they have to function day to day. So the Blossoming, Becoming a Woman, is as the adolescent mother-daughter book written as that resource. And every school, every teacher should have access to it. Every mom should have access to it. Every adolescent pediatrician office should have access to it. Every adolescent should be aware that this resource is available to them so that they can find out how to even formulate the question as to what's going on with them, so that they can then encounter a pediatrician with the same resource knowledge to help them work through it. It still means following hormone levels, but at least they know that then and can do it. With my second book, Full Bloom, that's the 40 and beyond year old book. So that's perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and beyond. And I literally lay out all of the arguments and the research in both books as to why hormone and balancing hormone is so important for every organ system and at every age of life. The two books coming, the 20 to 40-year-old book, are going to outline the foibles of when things don't go as planned and you do have infertility or fibroids or polycystic ovary, and how do you manage it for women. And the men's book, because men are never told that their testosterone could be lower than their age-appropriate levels. They're told it's either in range or out of range. So you may have the level at 35 of a 90-year-old, but you're told, oh, well, you're a few points above normal, so you're in the normal range, you're fine. Well, no, that's the level of a 90-year-old, and I'm 30, I'm 35. This is not right. That's why I'm writing, and will be writing the men's book.
That's very important, and great information and great resources, those books. How can they get them?
They're on not only my website, but both books are listed on Amazon. But my website also has my archived radio shows, both with CUTV News, with my local radio station, my YouTube channel. It has a lot of information on there, other interviews that I've done. So the website is my name, VictoriaJMondlockMD.com. So VictoriaJMondlockMD.com. And all of the shows are archived there, and I highly encourage you. The books are listed there. The link will take you directly to the ability to purchase the books. And I really, my goal is to have this book in every school, in every parent's hands, in every pediatrician office hands. This book should be in every mom's hands, in every household. Every teenager should have access to understanding how their body works. And every menopausal woman who goes through what her body throws at her in her 50s needs to understand what is going on. What happened to my brain? What happened to my gut? Why are my muscles mush? Why can't I sleep at night? Why am I angry all the time? Why am I losing my hair? Those are all hormone-related issues, and every woman deserves to know that and how to work with it.
Dr. Victoria J. Monlock is our special guest. Dr. Monlock, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you here and tremendous conversations that we have. We also want to let folks know again that you do have that YouTube channel. Give us the title of the channel again in case people want to check it out.
It's called Hey Doc, What's Up?
I love it. Hey Doc, What's Up? Well, she's going to be back with us to tell us more of What's Up next time, and that's going to be talking about the New Horizon Energy Medicine. We're looking forward to that. Always a pleasure, Dr. Monlock. Thanks for stopping by the show once again, and hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
You have a terrific day, and thanks so much for sharing this incredible 30 minutes with us here on the program. Again, her books are available at Amazon. Don't forget to get them. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, and thanks for joining us on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.